We started a series of lessons back a few weeks ago talking about encounters with Jesus. And it's really all about different people that had encounters with Jesus, but not just anybody. We're talking about people who are broken folks. And this morning, we're going to be talking about the woman at the well. Before we get into our lesson, though, I want to remind you that next week is our movie night, our third Sunday movie night. And Brian will be showing this movie, Standing Firm, 5 o'clock right here in the auditorium. It's free. Bring your family. Bring anybody you want. And this starting this month, we have a new feature. We will have movie theater-style popcorn for you. So come and enjoy just some great family time and be able to enjoy a good family movie with us. So 5 o'clock next Sunday right here in the auditorium, all right? Okay, as we was mentioned a moment ago, we're looking at this series of lessons on encounters with Jesus, and these are looking at stories in the Bible that show people that were broken in one way or another, that had an encounter with Jesus, and what the outcome, what did Jesus do with that person in dealing with them in that particular encounter? In other words, how did it come out? Because what we're really looking at in this is that God's goal is to fix broken people. And it doesn't matter how broken someone is. You know, the truth is, it doesn't matter what has happened in your life. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. And it doesn't matter what has been done to you. God is in the business of fixing broken people. Okay? And the reality is that all of us are broken in some way, one way or another. All of us have been broken in one way or another. And you know, the truth about it is that all of us, even though we may not be broken right now, we probably will be broken again sometime in the future. Because that's life. And really what my goal in this series of lessons is to help us to see how whatever the brokenness is in our life, whether it's the main brokenness that has separated us from God through our sins, that God can fix that. And if it's the brokenness that we feel through heartbreak over the loss of a loved one, like we have some that are facing right now, or family problems, or whatever the brokenness is that we're struggling with in our life, that God wants to and He can fix your brokenness. Okay? The message is that broken people to God are always worth fixing. Satan wants us to believe the lie that you're not worth it, that God doesn't love you anymore, that God can't, and that's simply not true. You are God's creation, and He loves you.
Amen.
And He wants to be able to fix whatever is broken in you and in your life. The big issue with all of this is that we have got to allow Him to fix us. God is a gentleman. He will not force His way into anyone's life. We have to allow Him to come in and to fix our brokenness. Okay? So let's talk about Jesus' encounter with the woman at the well. A woman who was a social outcast in her village, in her town. Okay? And if you look at the story, and it's basically a story of brokenness on a social level that, you know, it's devastating, especially in her time, in her culture. Keep in mind that the culture really dictated at that time that usually all the women of a village or a town would gather together in the early morning hours before the sun came up and so forth, and they would go to the well together, they would draw their water for the day and come back, but yet this woman was by herself in the middle of the day drawing water. You say, well, what was wrong with her? Well, we'll see in the story as it goes on that this woman had a problem with marriage. You see, she had been married and divorced. And married and divorced. And married and divorced. And married and divorced. And married and divorced. Jesus had pointed out to her, she had had five husbands. And finally, she just gave up on marriage, apparently, and she was, as people would say today, shacking up with someone. As Jesus said, you've had five husbands, and the man you are now living with is not your husband. I don't know of too many ways that a woman can be more broken in society than that. To be rejected over and over and over again by people that she loved. And then living in a circumstance where even the very town that she lived in rejected her. That, folks, is broken. And she comes to Jesus there at the well in that kind of a broken condition. Most likely feeling that there was no hope for her. And she goes there to the well, and there's, of all things, here's this Jewish man. Now, she's had a problem with men probably most of her life, and now here's a Jewish man who says, will you give me something to drink? And most likely, in her mind is running through, and you can see it in her response. You Jews don't associate with Samaritans, first of all. Okay? And why aren't you rejecting me like everyone else has? She says to Jesus, how is it that you, a Jew, can ask me, a Samaritan woman, to give you something to drink? Why are you even talking to me? I'm not worthy. Jesus' response. Okay? Jesus answered her and said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you, look at this, living water. Now, that response from Jesus, first of all, was most likely totally unexpected by this woman. Okay? And there's that part about the living water. And in a sense, I see that almost as a hook. Okay? It's almost as a hook that Jesus used to catch her attention and to really kind of grasp a hold of her curiosity. Because that's really what it did. Living water. And look at her response. Where are you going to get this living water? The well is deep. And you don't have anything to draw water with. How are you going to come up with this living water? And keep in mind, her thoughts about Jesus are probably still running along the line of this Jewish man. Where are you going to get this living water from? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well? She asked. Now, the narrative doesn't really say, because as you're reading the narrative, you can't really tell any voice reflection or anything like that. And to be honest with you, I don't know if she said this sarcastically or if she said this kind of, inquisitively. I think it could go either way. You don't have anything to give water with. The well's too deep. What, you think you're greater than our father Jacob who gave us this well to begin with? Who do you think you are? That's one possibility, really, of her response. Or it could be that inquisitive saying to him, I'm not sure I understand. You're talking about living water, and you don't have anything to draw with. This well is too deep, and it would take someone really great to be able to get it, like our father Jacob, who dug this well and gave it to us to begin with. I'm not sure which it was. But the point is, she's curious. And Jesus' response to her, and that is, you keep drinking this water, you're going to keep getting thirsty. Look at what he says, okay, in verses 13, 14. Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water that is welling up to eternal life. So Jesus is got his hook in this woman, okay, her curiosity. And then he says to her, you can keep coming here and drawing this water every day, and you're going to keep getting thirsty every day, but I have a different kind of water for you. I've got living water. Now, you know, I'm sure in her mind at this point, she's trying to figure out, what's the difference between living water and this water? What are you talking about? And she says to Jesus, and keep in mind the difference in her thinking. This is all this living water. What is that? Sir, give me some of this living water you're talking about. Her motivation for asking that is what? First of all, I don't want to have to keep coming here and drawing water all the time. You know how embarrassing it is for me to have to come here by myself every day and draw water, knowing that none of the other women in the village want to have anything to do with me because of my past. I don't want to have to keep doing this. So if living water will keep me from having to do this, then please give it to me. I won't have to keep coming here anymore if I can have this water. I won't be thirsty, and I won't have to come here anymore. But notice from that point, Jesus takes this woman. And her attention is on what? Where's her attention? It's on water, isn't it? And Jesus moves her from water to relationship. Because that's the path for fixing broken people. It's a path that goes, that takes people from focusing on the physical to the spiritual. It's a matter of felt needs. The reason she was there to begin with was to get physical water. And Jesus wanted her to realize the difference between what she felt her needs were, that physical water, to what her real needs were, that spiritual refreshing that only Jesus could provide. And so, Jesus says to her at this point, which, you know, as you read the narrative, it seems like it's just kind of out there, doesn't it? It's like, where did that come from, Jesus? But he says to her, go call your husband. And that's where the woman has to face her past. And that's where Jesus, as I mentioned earlier, brings up to her, you're right in saying you don't have a husband. The fact is that you've had five husbands, and the man you're living with now is not your husband. But you need to understand that Jesus did not tell her to go call her husband in order to trap her and to embarrass her further and drag her into the dirt more. That was not the reason Jesus brought up her husband issue, her brokenness, if you will. She'd had plenty of that from, I'm sure, all of her past husbands, and certainly plenty from the people in the town. Now, Jesus asked her that, or told her to go call her husband, because he wanted her to face her desperate situation and know that indeed there is still hope for you. You see, here I think this is a good illustration, I think, of what Jesus wanted her to realize. In order to fully embrace your future, you must be willing to let go of your past. And I think this woman was probably dragging her past with her from one marriage into the next, into the next, into the next, and into the next. And she couldn't let any of it go. Thus, she was there at the well by herself in all of her brokenness. She needed to face that brokenness before she could ever be able to reach a level of hope that she needed to be at. Before she could ever realize the significance of the difference between coming to the well by yourself to draw physical water and being able to live on spiritual water, living water from Jesus. She needed to face that past. So the woman, you know, kind of put yourself in her shoes for a moment and realize at that moment she's probably feeling a little bit uncomfortable, wouldn't you? So what does she want to do? She wants to change the subject, doesn't she? Yeah. Let's not talk about my husbands. Let's not talk about all that mess. Said, let's talk about worship. And she asked Jesus a question about worship and basically saying to him, you Jews say that the place to worship is in the temple in Jerusalem. Our fathers say that we're to worship here on the mountain. Which is the right place? Notice that she seems to be kind of thinking about Jesus in a little bit different way, and her estimation of who he is seems to be changing as the conversation goes along, to the point where she has an important question about worship, which really kind of gives us an insight into her feelings about God. Where's the right place to worship? Is it in the temple in Jerusalem, or is it here on the mountain? I don't know what all was going through her mind, but perhaps it's an attempt to avoid the subject. But perhaps it's also a glimmer of hope that she's found this person that seems to be different than anybody else that she's encountered in her life, most likely. And there's a glimmer of hope that maybe the one that she had been waiting for might be near. Because nobody, at least in, you know, the past, recent past, had treated her like this Jewish man had. Maybe she had some hope for that. Downtrodden by her life and everyone in her life stepping on her, and yet she expresses some hope. She's still holding out for hope of the Messiah. You see, I don't know if you realize it or not, but we're talking Jews and Samaritans, and Samaritans were basically half-breeds. They were part Jew, and they were part Gentile. And they were despised by real Jews. And so she had that going against her, but at the same time, these Samaritans, half-Jews, longed for the Messiah, just like the full-bred Jews did. They were looking and they were waiting and they were hoping for the Messiah. And that's one glimmer that we see in this woman at this point, that in all the things Jesus is calling on her to look at her past, to look at her life, and where does she turn to? Messiah. There's hope. And here, to me, is one of the greatest statements of this whole story. And I think too often people miss this statement. Okay? Because the Bible tells us here, then leaving her water jar, she went back to the village. Leaving her water jar. Now think about that for a moment. Just kind of let it sink in. Okay? That's not, I don't think it's intended to be a casual remark that's just kind of filler in the story. That is an important part of the story. Don't miss it. Because you see, when you realize that the water jar was the reason she was there at the well to begin with, leaving it there is significant. It says everything about where Jesus had started with her and where she was at that point. She left her water jar at the well. She brought the water jar there so she could get water for herself. And water was her priority when she went there, but when she left, it was no longer on her mind. Wow. What a transformation. Leaving her water jar. She wanted to go and share what she had just experienced with Jesus, with the townspeople. With who? With the very people that had shunned her. The very people that had looked down upon her and made her an outcast. And the first thing that she did after this encounter with Jesus was to go back to those very people. Okay? She went back to them and she said, "Come see a man who's told me everything I've ever done." Could this be the Christ? Now keep in mind, when she said, "everything I've ever done," she was talking about all the struggle, all the sin, all the mess and the garbage in her life. She wasn't talking about all the good stuff. "Come see a man who's told me everything." Basically what she's saying is, this man has just opened my life before my eyes. Nobody has ever been able to do that before. Could this be the one that we've been waiting for? That could make that much difference in my life? You think about it, that it makes that much difference that she would leave the very purpose that she went to the well with, she would leave it there and go back to the very people that had shunned her and made her an outcast and proclaim her hope in Jesus. Because of her testimony, the scriptures there tell us that the whole town came out to see Jesus. And they invited Jesus to stay. And Jesus did stay for some time there in that village. And many of the people became believers in Jesus, and they said to her, "Not because of what you said, but because we have seen and heard for ourselves." But she got it started, didn't she? She got it started. You see, Jesus can fix whatever problem, whatever desperation, whatever loneliness that we might feel in our lives. We feel like an outcast because we don't fit in, whether it's at home or at work or at school or in our neighborhood or with the people that call themselves our friends. Whatever it is, Jesus can fill us up and give us what we need. Because what He does is He moves us from a spiritual focus on life to a spiritual focus on life. So that whatever we come to Him with, whatever our original purpose is, we can leave that at His feet and go into a new life with Him. With hope. Living water, that's what it's all about. Because with that living water, Jesus restores hope for our future. Not just in the days that we have in this world, but our future for eternal life. That's what living water does. Okay. We lost the slide there, I think, at the end. But anyway, the issue and the question for us is: put yourself in this story, where this woman is, and maybe where would you find yourself? Would you find yourself as an outcast, maybe, as I mentioned a moment ago, at home, at school, at work, or wherever, and going about life on your own, feeling lonely, shut out, for whatever reason? Would you put yourself just going, trying to do whatever you can to provide for the physical needs that you have, and that's your focus? Would you put yourself trying to change the subject because Jesus would challenge you to really look at your life, at all the sin and all the struggles and all the problems. Would you want to change the subject like this woman did? Because it's getting a little bit too personal. Maybe would you put yourself at the point where you're willing to leave the water jar at the well and go and share your story with other people, especially those who perhaps have made you feel lonely. Being filled with hope in Christ Jesus. Where might you put yourself in this story? Story of brokenness, but a story of restored hope. An encounter with Jesus. This morning, the invitation is along this line. Maybe if you find yourself somewhere in this story that you still need that hope, then let us know that. Let us help you to have that hope that you need. It can be restored to you. You can enjoy that living water in Christ Jesus. If you're not yet a Christian, if you've not given your life to Christ, you need to understand that you are separated from God by your sin. As everyone starts out, once we sin, we're separated from Him. We remain that way until we accept Christ and have our sins washed away in baptism. And you can do that right now, this morning, if that's where you are. Separated from God, yet wanting to be reconciled to Him. If that's where you are right now, then call upon Jesus as your Lord. Repent of the sin that's separating you from Him and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And we've got water ready, don't we, Chuck? Water's ready? Okay? You can be baptized into Christ right now this morning. If that's what you need, all you gotta do is come and let me know. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to have a private conversation or prayer with him. And I'll be up front to receive anyone who'd like to come up here. Let us help you find the hope that Jesus has in store for you. Let's stand together and sing.